Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do twice a week for people who do needlework.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Stitch and chat tonight. We'll have something. Don't know what it's going to be, but we'll have something and we'll have a giveaway. So that's coming up tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. And there will not be one next week. Next Wednesday, we will not have a Stitch Hour because I won't be around. So no Stitch Hour. Then Sunday, our guest is Tracy Franklin. She's in the UK, a Royal School of Needlework graduate and teacher at the Royal School. She's one of those, you know, there's all kinds of guests. But when you get these Royal School of Needlework guests who have graduated and then moved on, holy smokes, they do a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're not limited to one, or not, I shouldn't say limited, but, you know, they don't devote themselves to one technique. You know, the research for them is, it's amazing what they do. And it's the kind of thing, like this one I got done with Tracy, we could do 3 hours with her. Easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And she's very much out of the box. So I'm just, yeah, it'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Interesting interview.
Yep. So Tracy Franklin will be the Sunday guest. Yeah, you'll want to. Amazing stuff, amazing stuff. And then she has her studio in one of those artist community buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm anxious to talk to her. We haven't recorded it yet, but anxious to talk to her about that, because I just think those are the neatest things when they take one of those old buildings and make them into an artist community. And so all the artists all have space. I just want to hang out in one of those, for a day.
Right.
Yeah. Cause you know, the artists are forever getting together and talking about different things and, inspiring each other, you know, it is. So, yeah. Yep. So Sunday, Tracy Franklin, we also have the Mystery in Saint-Tropez. Beth and I have recorded a video that, geez, I hope by the time you hear this that it'll be posted so you can see what Beth and I got from Needle in a Haystack. And we show all the threads and talk about what we're going to do and what we're thinking. And then tonight on the show, that's right, tonight on the show then, we will show mounting canvas on stretcher bars.
Yes, because we need to do that. I think people need it. It's easy to it's hard to describe on a podcast how you do that. So it'd be much better if we just showed you live.
Right.
You never done that. You know, it'll be worthwhile to watch because it's not difficult to do, but there is a little bit of technique there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll do that tonight on the show. And so you can live show, that way you can ask questions. So we'll do that. And then the video, and then I'm working out, hoping very soon to be able to do a video with Cindy and Jennifer, because they are doing theirs from Stash. Yeah. I'm most curious to see what they're going to do.
Definitely. I want to see what colors they each chose, because they're sure to have very different from each other and very different from what we're using. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they're very different people with different approaches. So.
Right, right.
Yeah. I think that's what's fun about this whole project. But then, you know, people with Stash and what people do, because everybody who does something from Stash has a completely different approach. And, it'll be really interesting. Yeah.
So I've got to ask, since we're talking about it, did you take time to do your watercolor on a pencil?
No.
And then, okay. No. No, it's not watercolor. You're using Bravo, correct?
Is that what I'm using?
I think that's your over dye.
Yes.
It's Bravo.
Yes, the RG, Royal Gallery.
Rainbow Gallery.
Jeez, I got Royal School of Needlework on my head. Rainbow Gallery, Bravo. Yeah, they're 4-ply cotton. Yes, that's what I'm using because I'm doing it on the Congress cloth. Yes.
Well, I took a minute and wrapped mine on a straw to see what my colors look like. And I'll have to show that tonight because that's it really shows how the colorway works out. And how to pull colors with that. That was a great tip, Cindy.
Yeah. What we're talking about is Cindy Baldwin, when we were talking about this in some show or somewhere, I forget. She, if you have over dyed threads, the technique, one of the techniques she uses to wrap it around a pencil or a straw or it does, you know, any stick. And by doing that, then you'll see each of the colors, and you'll see how much of each of the colors there is, all compact.
Right.
I think it's a great technique. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, I took a minute to do that because I knew I needed to pull a few more thread colors. So that gave me the opportunity to do that, and it was just it's interesting. It's just interesting to see what those colorways look like.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I'll for tonight's show, I'll have Bravo wrapped on there too. So then, yeah, because I think it's, yeah, I'll try and remember to wrap a pencil. Yeah, then people can see. So
yeah, it does. It makes it look totally different than when it's on that skein.
It did, huh? So it really changed your view of the thread.
Yes, and it made it much easier to pull different colorways out so that to add more accent colors.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm glad I did it.
I just realized, yeah, so if you wrap that on a straw, then you can lay that on a piece of white paper or on your ground cloth, and then you can lay colors right next to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, excellent.
Yes, and...
I'm waking up here. See, I'm catching on.
Get you a cup of coffee. I noticed because I went and pulled some threads from my stash because we all know I have stash. And
there's talk. Yeah, there's talk. Mm-hmm.
I found some perfect pearl cotton in a deeper orange.
Oh.
And then I pulled my DMC color card out to see where they fit on the color card with what Kathy Ray had already given me. And I was like, oh yeah, these are in the same color family. So they will work perfectly with this canvas. If I can add them easily to what Kathy already picked.
Yeah.
So if that makes sense. So like there, let me pull the color number. It's 920. Is one of the colors I pulled, and Kathy had had 946 in, that's the color of DMC she sent me with, so they all work together.
Okay,
so they're all in the same color grouping, so that was fun. That was just fun to go and pull some of this more stash. And it just gives me a little bit deeper color. That way I can play a little more.
Right.
I'm working on on this piece.
Yeah. Cause when folks see the video, one of the issues that Beth had was that the orange threads were not necessarily, a couple of them were not necessarily going to stand out on the ground fabric. So it was, you know, got to find something else. So you found darker or lighter?
Darker.
Okay.
And I did go back and read the instructions, which is always eye opening. And Kathy Ray, the colors she picked were what Gayen suggested, to pick colors that match the ground canvas.
Oh.
So that again got me intrigued. So I started flipping through the pattern and saying, okay, so where am I using this color? And I, I didn't quite find it yet, but I've already started thinking about how I'm going to change the pattern, how I'm going to not change the pattern, but change where I'm going to place colors and where I'm going to place threads.
So that suggests then that those threads then will be stitched over something else as opposed to right in the ground.
Or, yes, so they'll be either be stitched over or they might be part of the ground and they're going to add a colored texture.
Uh-huh.
Because it'll be tone on tone, which will still add dimension to the piece.
Yeah.
And Gayen does do that. You know, if stitched many of her pieces, she'll use something that's the same or maybe slightly different than the ground. And then you add another color on top.
Mm-hmm.
A whole depth of texture on the piece.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll be fun. This is going to be just a lot of fun to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you got me looking at my threads. Okay. I'm stopping.
And I'm looking, I'm here flipping through the pattern. And I'm like, okay, there's that. Yeah. It's to add texture.
Oh, okay.
Cause you're adding a padded diagonal tent stitch.
Hmm.
And that is very, it'll look textured, but you're using the same color as your ground canvas, same color of thread as your ground, then it's just going to add a color, a depth of a little bit of texture to your canvas.
So then you may end up staying with the original thread.
Maybe, or add a contrast. I get to play. I can't wait. Okay, so we've got to frame up so we can get started on this project.
So
you can just stitch.
Yes. Thread and needle must start moving. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's tonight, 8 o'clock. We'll be moving on with the Saint-Tropez thing. So get your stuff. If you don't already have it and you want to participate, we're going to lead you right through the thing. I mean, if we're going to show you how to mount canvas, then we're obviously going to lead you through it. So GayenRogers.com will get you your chart, and then we'll give you a link to the pages at Needle in a Haystack, and Kathy Ray has all kinds of things lined up, different packages, so you can get those ordered. And I think she has now all the threads you need, so when you order, it should ship out rather quickly. And then, of course, everything we're doing is recorded, so you'll be able to, you won't miss out. You can just go back and catch up. But if you've never done Counted Canvas, this is a good one to do, and if you've done it but like to experiment, this is a really good one to do, and all kinds of variation between the four of us. So, yeah, a lot of fun. All right, Karen Kluba, and I will continue to maintain that in the cross-stitch world, best in the business. Boy.
I just take my credit card. I just said, just. Let me just give you my credit card. You just keep it on file. Send something to you. Just send it to me.
You know, that that's actually an excellent idea.
You know?
Yeah.
Just send it to me. On auto ship, you know? Let me just throw money at you.
When you print it, send it. I'm not sure I would disagree with that, because I don't know that there's a single chart that I wouldn't own. The ones that I own are ones that I feel I just simply can't do without. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure. Yeah, there's probably one or two in that vast catalog of hers that I wouldn't care to own. But yeah, she is just endless.
Yeah.
So she has new ones for the Needlework Expo. She has new ones.
Yeah. And she finished up the Hill series. So she's releasing Winter Hill, which, you know, just we have to have because we've got the other three.
Right.
So need the last one. So at least I have charts. Even if I only have one stitched, you know, at least I'll have the charts when I have the urge.
Right. Okay. So let's just start, because, you know, Winter Hill was one that we speculated several times about what she would do with winter-like colors.
Yes.
Did she nail it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look like Christmas. It has some Christmassy,
you know, it's got the red, it looks like it has red and greens. It has a nice pine tree, has cardinals and kind of a, it looks kind of wintry. I mean, but that's what it looks like. It looks like winter. It doesn't look like Christmas. So if you stitched it, it's one of those pieces you could leave hanging up all through that winter season.
Yes. And I have to say that I was really glad to see it because I feared that she would go Christmas. Mm-hmm. And she didn't. She stayed with winter. And I was really pleased to see what she did, because I thought, oh, if she goes red and green and holly and ivory and blah, 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 you know, I'm going to be disappointed. But nope, she did the job. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Those hills are quite the bit to stitch.
Yeah. Yeah. I've yet to do one. You've done one. And yeah. But yeah. This, it's cool. Cold winter feel, colors. The trees are bare.
Yes.
But
it's cheerful still too. I mean, it's not dreary. Right. I was afraid that if she went with all like blues and grays and whites, it would be very not too neutral colored for me.
Yeah.
But this has got enough bright colors in it that it's cheery to me. I'd love to have it hanging up, you know, when it's gray outside. You've got all these lovely colors in the sampler. I just love it.
Yep. And for those, obviously, audio podcast can't show the pictures. I will put pictures of all these in the video that goes on YouTube, and I will make a slideshow on the podcast page at wetalkfiber.com so you can see them. And then, of course, obviously, you can go to Karen Kluba's website and see them there, or her Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this one, you know, the trees are bare. And she's got little icicle things hanging down, and then it looks like maybe ornaments on the ends of each branch. So my first thought was, I'm going to get some beads and put on the ends of the branches.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. And I hate to say it, but those berries up in the top vine, they're kind of look like little red
mm-hmm.
things. They said queen stitch to me, I'm thinking they would look really nice as queen stitches.
I think you got it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, okay, so you're thinking beads on the trees, but right above the right hand trees are those snowflake things.
Mm-hmm.
Do those in beads make them kind of a little shiny too? Just because I think of snow as being sparkly, you know, on a cold winter day, the sparkle of the beads, the sparkle of the snow, and then you'd have that in that, maybe even use bugle beads.
Mm-hmm. Could be. When I saw those, I saw Rainbow Gallery. There's a whole bunch of Rainbow Gallery threads that are whites with sparkles or bluish whites. When I saw those snowflakes, that I immediately, because I was going to do a project a long time ago. It was one of those, you know, every month we add to the project, you know, that's what I actually thought I would do them. And I was going to do it in all whites. And so I bought a bunch of white Rainbow Gallery threads, different kinds with sparklies and whatever. And I still have them. And when I saw these snowflakes, that's what I thought. I'm going to haul out those threads and do it that way.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea.
I'll tell you why I think, you know, I see what you're seeing with beads, but I would be hesitant to put the beads there because I think they would look heavy on that side.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because for those who haven't seen it, there's at the top of the hill, there's a pine tree standard triangle pine tree. And then on either side are little bands. And one is snowflakes, and on the other side are just some shapes. I don't know what they are. But, see, I think you'd feel like you had to do something extra on the left side to balance the visual weight.
Yes, yes. And then I think you'd run into issues.
Yeah, because that'd be tough to pull off.
Right, right.
So, yeah. See, this is the trouble with this. You know, the smart person just sits down and does the cross stitch and gets it done. But it just, her stuff just lends itself to having some playtime. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. So Winter Hill. So for folks who don't know, there are four seasons, spring, yep, summer, autumn, and Winter Hill designs. They all have the same basic layout design, but they're all very different. They're all the same size. So you can go out and buy enough ground cloth to do all four. They're all the same size. So you can, and of course, hanging on the wall, then you could have a frame and then just pop them in and out,
right,
with the seasons. And they're all four beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you were going to stitch, okay, because now we're going to have all four. Which one would you stitch first? Now that you see all four.
Autumn or winter?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'd like to do autumn next, because I love the colors in the autumn one. Although this winter one with that hill, I just love the colors on the base of that hill.
Yeah,
that dark green that's in there and the burgundy reds. Again, it doesn't look Christmassy. It just looks rich. So
yeah.
Oh, that would be just so nice to have.
And see, that's just it. There's just enough red and green in there to just hint at Christmas without it saying Christmas. And it's perfectly done.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I think I would go autumn because those autumn colors really, yeah, they really speak to me.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah. That
beautiful one too.
Yep. So that's, Kim will have them all at Sassy Jack's if you want them. Just go ahead, just get all four.
Yeah.
Because you're going to buy them anyway. Just say, Kim, send me all four of the Hill series and then be done with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the other one now, she's got, Karen's got Conundrum, which is it's a totally different chart than Winter Hill. It looks more like kind of almost like Quaker squares. Not,
yeah.
And it looks like she's done it mainly in, whoever did the model stitching did it in grays or blacks or something. But the reason I like it is I see it as a way to use some of my stash threads. Because if you bought any of them, bought from Victoria Motto sampler threads, Color and Cotton, Silks for You, Vicki Clayton has some. But any of those packs of threads together, you could just use one of those packs and use it on this piece. And the colors would go together.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to just start playing with it.
Yeah, because it's essentially what she has designed, essentially a monochrome design. So that just, yeah, exactly. That just screams, all right, pick your color palette and you can, it'll do it. It'll work. Yeah.
Right. Right. And, or even if you, you've bought one of the big hanks of threads, like from Silks for You or Mrs. Sadis, again, that would look gorgeous and, using one of those.
Yeah.
Or pick your favorite sets of DMC. You like blues, pick a color family of blues and go for it.
Right.
It would just be gorgeous. Or again, all the little tiny motifs. Pull them out and make scissor fobs, needle cases. I see all sorts of potential for this thing.
Yep. Yeah, and usually on Karen's chart, she'll have two or three smaller projects on the back pages that she's made up. Okay, let me try this one on you. Okay, so this is who's the designer? Death by Cross Stitch and all those.
That's it's Jules.
No.
That's the name of the designer. I know Long Dog Sampler.
There. Okay. So yeah, this is kind of a Long Dog Sampler ish design.
Yeah.
In that vein of design. So all right. So here's the thing. What if we looked at this as white on white?
Oh. Yes.
I think because I've thought about that with some of the Long Dog ones too. What if you do white on white, but you're careful with your whites, so that you know they're different from the ground just enough.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It would be elegant. It would just be elegant piece.
Yeah. So that when I saw this one, that's what it said to me. How about white on white?
You'd go crazy stitching it.
I fear that you would, yeah.
On white. I mean, I guess you just have to have enough contrast to make it work, but I could see it. Definitely could see it.
Or even if you just did a real pale linen in whatever color.
Right.
Just enough so you wouldn't ruin your eyes stitching it.
But, and then again, silks for you. And I use this one for Anya's day. I used there was an ecru, and I used it on the really, really dark fabric that I dyed. So if you did that kind of ecru-y where it had a little bit of variegation in it and did it on, I don't think you'd want to do it on a pure white, but like a cream, like you said, if you could pull it off, it would be elegant. It would look like almost like lace.
Yeah. So that's what.
That's where your mind went.
That's where I went when I saw that one. Yeah.
Because you're crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. We got to keep moving or we're going to run out of time.
All right.
So then it's the Camberley or Camberley sampler.
Camberley.
Yeah. She has it spelled two ways. So not sure.
Mm-hmm. The reds in that were beautiful. Mm-hmm.
I knew that's where you were headed.
but when I saw it, I keep seeing just little sections of it. Like the birds would make such a nice little small. The carnation, I think those are carnations. The flowers. Again, a beautiful little piece. Not that I ever do little pieces.
Right. But see, now, okay, so just to give people a rough idea. So this is a sampler, but not in typical sampler fashion. So she has things kind of cordoned off. Like in the bottom left is an alphabet with a border around it. Bottom right, there's a house with some trees with a border around it. Then there's a flower pot kind of thing of carnations. And then some borders here and there. And then there's two birds on the left on branches.
Mm-hmm.
And all together it works, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm pulling this thing apart.
Yeah. I mean, just the borders are gorgeous. The little borders, just be fun to play with them.
Yep.
All the different, different motifs and just use them. Oh, this is totally off subject, but, did you watch I think it's Deb from Country Stitcher, her montage. She just put a video up on that piece she's doing that has the wreath in the center and all the different little favorite motifs she's pulled from different charts.
I watched the first 10 minutes of it just to, so I can see, and then I'm going to go back. But yeah, this very much is like that.
Yes, and I could see here's my crazy thought. You have your little collection of Karen Kluba patterns, and you do something like that with hers.
Mm-hmm.
Just pull, because she has so many little smalls in there. She has so many great motifs. That would be a great way to have a compilation of all of her little pieces and have them all.
Yeah.
And I could just see doing that with hers.
Yep.
A Rosewood Manor montage.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a good one. I mean, this sampler works quite nicely. It's beautiful by all the way she has it all put together. But I immediately started pulling things out because I'm gonna the birds would be, that'd be a nice small, or if you did that kind of a thing where you just pull things from different charts.
Yes.
And these borders that she has here, I would keep that chart because there's a reproduction sampler that you just really feel needs a border.
Right.
Doesn't have one, if this had something to frame it, it would just kind of finish it off. There's several borders here that would be perfect for that kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Good one. So Camberly, I'm not sure, it, on the picture she has it Camberly, so Camberly sampler. So that's that one. And then, now what, you didn't react when we were talking ahead of time. You didn't react to the Wendelbury sampler.
No. And I think I like it. I mean, I love the letters in it. Oh, I wonder if you could do those as four-sided or Jerrian eyes. But anyway.
Yes, you could.
Immediately started dissecting this. But it's, I mean, the other ones called me more. If you have to rank them a little bit. It's not something I think I would stitch is the thing. I'd probably keep the chart because I like the top section of the flowers, and then mm-hmm. to have a different alphabet, to have a different alphabet around, it's always nice.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is two-thirds is a kind of a potted tree thing, really quite unique. And then the bottom third is an alphabet, and then there's a border around it and some trimmings. It's a pretty straightforward piece. I like the cleanness and the symmetry of it.
Okay, yeah, that's nice. And actually, I could see doing the pot, not doing it all in solid cross stitch, but if you did it in satin stitch, that would go tons better. And then those little flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Do those different stitch so they go faster. Anything to, I could see, you could, if you just did that little tree and did buttons on it.
Oh, there you go.
Especially if you have some antique buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Make it like a button tree.
Yep.
Oh, that would work. Okay. All right.
Okay. Best scene and option ideas. Anyway. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's because I just keep going back to Winter Hill and the conundrum and I keep on going back to those.
And just has a nice clean symmetry to it to me. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. All right, and then Rackstraw Hill. What was your reaction to Rackstraw Hill?
I love it. Beautiful. It's because it's got, I think it's the color she chose. The background linen is like, it's butterscotch cookies from Fabrics by Stephanie is the fabric color she used for her model stitching it. And it just looks stunning with the colors of everything on top. And I think that's what calls to me about that one. You've got those little trees.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see stitches on it.
I liked it when I saw it initially. I liked it. I still like it. I'm not sure this is what, you know, you say you have to rank them at some point. I'm not sure I would stitch this one, though I wouldn't mind having the chart again to pull pieces out of it.
Right. Right. And I'm not so far I've never stitched one of these sampler houses. But I love the baskets of flowers on either side.
Yeah.
And those are what call to me on this piece. Because I think you could, again, you could stitch them alone just by themselves, but I wonder how big it is if you could even use that as on a board.
Okay, let's see. Karen Kluba, how big is it?
Okay, wait. Huge.
Yeah, you could.
But see, this is one of her, she's got all those hill designs.
Right.
Is it? How it might not be that tall. I mean, it might be really wide.
Right.
But it might not be that tall.
Yeah, I didn't look up the specs. I don't think this is a small by any stretch, no.
No, no, no. But couldn't you see using that? Okay, if you're going to make your own little project, like one of the montages, I could see putting that one of those flower pots in there.
Yep.
One of those, I mean, can it be big? But then you'd have a whole bunch more room. You could put a bunch of borders.
Yeah.
Now I've got a really crazy idea. Oh, golly. You're costing me money, Gary. A bad influence.
You're the one that put this on the list, not me. don't be blaming me for spending your money.
Oh. I was trying to enable you too. So
that's a low bar right there. Mm-hmm. That's a low bar.
Well, even those little trees that are on the other little hill. There's two big flower pots and there's two trees. And I keep thinking those would be fun to do as Smyrnas or what else could you do there? Is because they're diamond shaped little flowers on the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Stitch. Oh, could you do a Jessica? Or what would be a square? What's that kind of like a square stitch that would go in there?
I think you're looking at Rhodes or. Yeah, I think a Rhodes stitch, Smyrna, something like that.
I guess you could do a waffle too, a small waffle stitch.
Ooh, that'd be tight.
Yeah.
It'd be an interesting challenge, but it'd be tight.
Yeah. Or some sort of layered.
Yeah.
In there. Just to give it a little poofiness.
Right. Yeah, I think there. Yeah, I think that's where you go is you put some cross stitch down as a base and then something on top.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to see that's, you know, layering stuff, doing that kind of thing. I think you then have to be careful because it can become the dominant thing visually. So you have to do some other things to have a raised layer across the piece. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. And because if not, it would stand up too much.
Yeah.
And then your eye would immediately always go to that.
Yeah. And then I think in this instance, why, you know, why are those bumps sitting there when there's nothing else standing out over the piece?
Right. Hmm. When I'm looking at, she's got like a kind of a lacy border around the alphabet.
Yeah.
And would that be neat as little eyelets?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Oh.
Okay, Rackstraw Hill. Potential. Has potential.
Mm-hmm. Lots of potential there. Lots of potential.
All right, and then the one you were excited about is the Crosshaven sampler.
Yes. And that was from last time. Last time she released things. And it's got the crane at the bottom, like a some sort of sandhill cranes. And I think people are saying, oh, that's Florida. But I live along the Mississippi River, And we have cranes of different types, either coming through or they're here over the summer. I just saw some hunting along the Mississippi River and the marshes, you know, getting frogs or whatever they get. And so I could see just doing the bottom of that sampler.
Yeah.
Which has the cranes and the lily pads and the cattails, which we have lots of those. I just think that would be beautiful. Just a beautiful little piece right. to have done. I don't know if I would. I think I would do it on a light blue fabric, though.
Mm-hmm.
Get some color behind the cranes.
Yeah.
But the top is gorgeous, too. And the two different on each side are like urns with flowers growing up them. And I just think each of those are gorgeous.
So. Yeah, see, for me, this is two samplers or two pieces.
Mm-hmm.
It works as one, but to take that top two-thirds with the alphabet, two alphabets, and then the plants growing up each side and borders, you know, that to me, that's one. And then the scene at the bottom with the cranes and the dragonflies and, you know, kind of the water scene, you know, wading in the water. That, you know, that's the second one. I'd make two out of this.
Yes. Yes. Because I think because they can stand alone.
Right.
That way.
And in many ways, I think they do stand alone. That she's got a border in between that ties them together. But right. For me, visually, they're each separate pieces. And yeah, I do them as separate pieces.
Yeah.
Equally beautiful. They're going to work. You know, it's not a negative.
right. No. And because it's just a beautiful piece. Just a beautiful piece. But it's one of those that every time I see it, or I just think, oh, you know, that's the pattern I need to get. Because it's just, I just love those cranes.
Yep. Yeah.
And I just think it would be beautiful. And then I think I would do the, I might just pull a variegated thread to do the water instead of stitching in various colors.
Mm-hmm.
Just pick a color, an over dyed, and stitch the whole thing.
Yeah, just let it be whatever it comes out. Yeah.
Right. Yep. And that made. Movement down there, but her pieces are just gorgeous no matter what you
so find. what is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 charts right there,
yeah,
from Karen Kluba. That'll keep you busy for
ever
till the Nashville show when she comes up with 6 more. How about that?
Right
But stitch fast.
Stitch very fast, especially if you're doing the Winter Hill one.
Right, right.
The trees themselves on top of those hills are no joke, as Jennifer and I have found out.
Yeah, have we? Well, the Winter Hill is just now coming out. Have you seen anywhere where anybody's done the other three, got them all completed?
Not that I know of. I know someone's done Spring Hill.
Mm-hmm.
No, anyone that's, I haven't seen any images of people doing summer or autumn. But yeah.
Yeah.
I need more time.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't stitch that fast. I'm a slow stitcher.
Yeah.
I admit to it. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you have it. Karen Kluba, Rosewood Manor. Check them out. Mm-hmm. We'll put the pictures up, but
just throw your money at her.
I love that. Here's my standing credit card. if Rosewood Manor has a chart, send it.
just send it.
Don't call me, don't send an email, just mail it. Just Save us all a whole bunch of hassle. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And then that way I can just go look through them.
Yep.
Through them.
So you've been working on your lizard painted canvas piece.
Yes. And struggling.
Hmm.
I forced myself to sit down and just work on the Bargello background. Weekend. And I managed to get to the absolute bottom of the can of that section. And then I was like, well, let's go see. Did I do wash the dishes? Does the dishwasher need to be loaded?
Oh,
sweep
that stage of things. Oh no.
So I had to, just sit down and do one more thread. And I realized why I was struggling is because I have to go around all the critters, and figuring out where that around is difficult for me. And I was like, there's got to be a trick for this. There's got to be a trick. And I think what I need to do is find the pattern and stitch it. And because the Bargello is going up and down and up and down, like Bargello does, but it's not got a regular pattern. I did something very random.
Mm.
It looked like sand because I didn't want it to be, up four, down four, up four, because I thought that would look too, wouldn't look random. It needed to be more random for me.
Okay.
Now I'm regretting it because I could have counted that out. So
if you'd have stuck with just a standard Bargello pattern.
Yes.
Easy to compensate around each of the figures.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't.
But no.
No. It looks cool. It looks very cool. But no. So I'm trying to figure that compensation out. And that's where I'm stuck. And so it's like, oh. So, yeah. Tonight, I will be, well, not on Wednesday night, but when we're recording this, I will spend some time working on it. Because I'm almost to the top of that Bargello. It really just needs a few good sessions and that will be done. And then I can tackle the last lizard. And I'm still not sure how I'm going to do the body. I think I know how I'm going to do his head. I need to get a hoop, get some fabric and trace the head off of the painted canvas onto the fabric. And then I'm going to do a wire form of that trace bit, and then I'm going to needle weave with some sort of thread.
Okay.
Applique the head on, and then the little spiky things will be able to stick out.
Oh, so you're going to do the whole head?
Yes. I debated on whether to do each little section as a separate applique piece, and I thought, oh, all those wires and trying to get it to mesh in, I thought it would be better if I just needle wove the whole stinking thing.
Hmm.
Or did something that was solid, so I'm not having to stick in each of those pointy bits.
Yeah.
In my mind. And so I'm going to try that. I figured if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I have to start again, but it's worth a try.
Yeah.
How will I know unless I...
Yeah, that's interesting. That phase where I wonder if the dishwasher's done. I wonder if the laundry's dry.
Right.
Yeah, I know that phase. And yeah, it's a real mental struggle to stay with the needlework. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And if I don't, it's like, okay, so, I'm too tired. I'll work on Alice Ellen Usher because it's a single thread. I'm just making little alphabets, making little X's. It's so nice and relaxing. I don't have to think about anything. I just stitch away.
Yep.
And you make progress and you can see your progress. So.
Yeah, that's that first real big step toward going on a shelf and getting forgotten. Yeah. That's a real fork in the road when it comes to projects, when you start paying attention to whether the dryer's buzzed or not. Because normally it would be, oh, yeah, the dryer. Wait, I got to get the clothes out. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, no,
right.
The pot's boiling. I forgot. Yeah.
Right. Oh, wait. You wanted supper tonight? Yeah. No. I'm stitching. I'm working on my project.
Yeah. It's the other end of that spectrum right there. Yep. Oh, boy. Yeah. You're going to have to fight through because you really have. I mean, it's essentially done.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's got a lot more hours left in it.
Right.
But it's really so close to being done. It's ridiculous. So, and my son wants it. So it's not like it's just for me and I can say, well, I'm tired of working on it. I'll pull it out again later.
Yeah.
My son really likes it and he would like to have it framed. And so that makes me want to stitch it more. So
now you got the mom pressure thing working. Oh boy, you got it all in place here. Oh man. Yeah. Well, and you got to finish it because it really is coming out very nice.
Yeah.
It really is. You've brought that thing to life. I think it just really has come together nicely. So, but yeah, you saved the best / worst for last.
Right. And I just need to just start playing with it. Yeah. And I think there's that fear factor of, oh, it's not going to come out good. You know, I've done so well on the rest of it, but what if I make a mistake here? It's like, and I'm going to remind myself, it's needle, it's thread, a pair of scissors, and it comes right out again.
Yep. Yep.
So I've got to just play with it and just work on it.
Well, the bearded dragon has always been the one element that has sat out there saying, what are you going to do with me? How are you going to handle it?
Right.
So right. Now you're down to making decisions.
and it's just a matter of just starting, just doing something and saying, you know, be prepared to rip it out. You know, don't just leave it if you don't like it. But stitch, because I think what's going to have to happen with the body at least is I'm going to stitch on it, put something in, and let it sit there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it to make sure I like it. Work on the head, and then there's a big border around it that needs to be stitched, which will take some time. But you know, just kind of look at it, what I've stitched, and then decide if I like it and keep going, or say no, that's not going to work. Take it out.
Yeah.
And willing to get it's the fear. It's kind of like, oh, I'm just a little bit afraid of it.
Yeah.
Like I need to get over it. Just do it. Just do it. It's just needle and thread.
Yep.
Needle and thread. Keep telling myself that.
Yep. Well, it's turning out to be a beautiful piece. And that border, when you get that border stitched, that's always been my favorite part of it. I really like that. Kind of Navajo Southwest pattern. Yeah.
And those bright colors are just fun.
Yep. Yep. Well. It's going to be worth it when it's done, but I don't envy you that dragon. That's you'll get it. It'll come out.
Yeah.
It'll come out. All right, we're going to call it there. Join us tonight. We'll be mounting canvas on stretcher bars, which tells me I got to get a set of stretcher bars and a piece of canvas. I'm going to mount the 18 count canvas instead of the Congress cloth that I'm using. I'll just do a piece on a set of stretcher bars. So we'll do that so people can see how to do that and have a bunch of other stuff, have a giveaway. So one of the giveaways, all right, one of the giveaways is from Karen Brumley and Ann Mahoney asked her to send it to me. So what this is, this thing is from 1986, a Judith Brown design, 1986. And so we're going to have a special drawing for this because not everybody's going to want this. But it's Army. It's called United States Army, and it has charts for officer, enlisted, and cadet.
Oh, cool.
So there's a Department of the Army plaque. And it's in that blueprint color from, you know, 1986. there's the Army Mule. There's duty, honor, country, design, U.S. MA, cadet hat, Army woman's hat, those symbols, West Point, USMA. There's a U.S., United States Army, there's a hat, officer's hat and gloves chart. It is the coolest thing. There's a enlisted hat and patch. And then there's patches for master, first sergeant, master sergeant, sergeant first class, private first class. So there's all the patches. So if you have someone who, you know, son or daughter who's in the Army, this would be a chart to stitch all kinds of different things. So like if you had someone who has made their way through the ranks from, you know, private to corporal to sergeant, you could do a piece. You could put a piece together and show each of the patches for each of the rankings. It's the coolest thing, but, you know, it's only cool if you have someone who is in the Army and you want to stitch something for them.
Yeah.
But
a neat pattern.
Yeah. And then an alphabet on the back, so you know you can spell out names or do whatever you want. And so this is a Judith Brown did this design in 1986. So we'll have a special drawing for that because there'll be one or two people in the audience who have someone in the Army, and then of course, then there's a Navy one, a Marine, and an Air Force. And a Guantanamo Bay leaflet that this Judith Brown did in 86. Now, I'm sure they're all out of print and blah, blah, blah. But this is really cool to get this.
I think that's neat. I mean, because my parents were both in the military, so both Air Force. So, and then I had a brother that was in the Army. So that intriguing to me.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I could see whereas like if you were doing something, let's say you're doing a family tree or a sampler, you're making your own sampler of something from your family, you know, to include something like that in there.
Right. You know? Right.
In fact, my mother was, in fact, my dad always said my mother outranked him for quite a while.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that would be so cool to have something like that. So you could add that to a sampler or make something for, you know, a loved one. That would be great. That's going to be a neat giveaway. I'll be curious to see that tonight.
Right. So that's going to be a special giveaway. So we'll have two different giveaways. One is going to be this Army one. It's just such a unique thing. And, in 1986, I mean, here the price on it $4.95. You know, yeah. Oh. But just a really cool thing that Karen sent. So I have that to give away, and there'll be someone in the audience who will have a very definite need for that. So yeah, I love getting that kind of stuff. Just unique. Yep. All right, that's it. We quit. We're done. Join us tonight, Tracy Franklin on Sunday. No Wednesday night show next week. Don't forget that. So thanks for listening.
Bye.